Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this August 1st meeting of the Othello City Council workshop to order. Would you all please rise for a short invocation, asking for the blessing on this city and this council wisdom as we make the decisions that affect this community? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. Item 1.04 is our roll call, and tonight Eugene Bain is asked to be excused for illness, and I'd entertain a motion to excuse Eugene Bain from our proceedings tonight.
That motion.
Second.
All those in favor, we have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 1.05 is citizen input. Is there any, this is a portion of our meeting where any citizen can address the city council for up to 5 minutes. Is there any citizen here tonight who wishes to address the city council? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to our current business. And 2.01 is an employee recognition, and I would like to call Tricia Tolley forward. 20 years. Tricia has worked for the city of Othello now for 20 years. And I'm going to read a few things about her. Can I add a few things too, or just? Tricia was hired in 1996 to the city of Othello as the administrative secretary. She then performed receiving payments in for utility bills, building permits, right-of-way permits, park shelter requests, customer service, and for a while, issued dog licenses. Tricia was promoted to deputy finance officer in 1998. She was then responsible for accounts payable, banking, and payroll. She was an asset in that position and continued to provide customer service as needed. In 2011, she was moved into a new role as the building and planning secretary. She has brought continuity and leadership as the city transitioned from a part-time consultant to a full-time planner. She plays an important role in the accomplishment of planning activities with both the planning commission and the hearings examiner. Tricia is instrumental in coordinating building inspections and plan reviews with the Adams County Building and Planning Department. She has a great knowledge of the city and our codes, and Travis has come, our community development director, has come to trust and rely upon her opinions and abilities. I want to say that in today's world, most people don't last in a job more than about 5 years before they move on, Tricia. And especially at a city government with all the regime changes and council changes and staff changes, and yet for 20 years, is with great privilege and honor to give you this award for working at the city of Othello for the last 20 years. Want to say anything?
I'm just as surprised as you are that I've been here for 20 years. It's actually went by quickly. I've been through a lot of people, and I would say that right now we have an outstanding group of people.
Thank you.
And I don't know what I say.
Me too. Thank you. So tonight, Spencer on item 2.02 is going to roll out the budget committee schedules. It's already budget season once we hit August. We start planning for 2017. Spencer, you want to present that to the council?
Sure.
Here we go. It's 2017, it's fast approaching, and we've got to be prepared for it. It's amazing. It seems like we were just here last year, planning for 2016. Tonight, I want to give a very high-level overview of what the budget season looks like for the year. We'll follow a very similar process to the process that we followed last year. We've already started building our estimates, projections, ending out this year, and what we think we're going to need for next year. And we're going to have series of meetings, and then we're going to meet all together as a council and pass our budget, and maybe later on November, early December possibly, and then we'll begin to go for the holidays. I wanted to outline up here on this slide up here, I have a couple of months. This is where we're at right now. July and August, this is where we're starting with the department heads. Internally, we're looking at our budgets, we're seeing where we're at, where we think we're going to end up, and what we think we need for next year for operational needs and looking, starting to look at different capital requests that we'll be able to set. September and October, that's when we're going to meet with our budget committees to discuss the sections of the budget. I have the next slide that we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a sec. So we'll meet with our various budget committees. We'll be looking at the general fund, the stream, the water, the sewerage, each one of these funds individually, where we're at, where we're going to go in the future. These are meetings where we're going to have the department heads and three members of the council will be here in room three, just on the other side of this wall. And it's very informal. This is where we're at, and this is what the things look like. Then hopefully towards the end of October, maybe early November, we'll have a budget retreat where we start bringing the whole budget together, and we'll consider those capital requests. We'll look at the available positive money, the utility tax, the money that we have to use for the new year, and what can we put in the budget. And then our plan is to pass our new budget. I think the last couple of years, it's always been the last November. But we have until December 31. The earlier the better, I think. I think that's what you think also. Takes the stress out of it. So that's the overall budget process that we're going to be following. The next slide here takes a closer look to the budget council, the council budget meeting that we're going to be having. And I wanted to put this out there and make sure you're aware of it. And we don't have to make any decisions tonight. I just want you to be thinking about your availability and does this kind of schedule work for you. This is the last week in September, the first 2 weeks of October. This is the same schedule. It's not the exact same schedule as we had last year. Last year we had our street water sewer number 4 and 5. We combined the street water and sewer meetings all into one meeting. It's kind of long. So at that meeting we decided maybe we should cut those in half so we have street one, the water and sewer the other. We still have the same members on each committee because what happens if with the street, we actually want to do the water and sewer in conjunction with those projects. Other than that, the rest of the schedule is just about the same. We have one council member that left, and so I put a new council member in his old slots here, Council Member Mori. And you are in slots. We have four different ones. One with 1, 2, 3, and 7. And then for the rest of council members, if I could ask you to take a look at the schedule and see what works. We'll have a little calendar towards the end so you can see this is what it looks like. This is where we're going to be looking at the individual budgets, the general, the law enforcement, all the little pieces of the budget. I think this is kind of a slow start and easy start to get into the larger budget conversations that we've been having in November. With that, that's really all I have. All throughout the budget season, I want you to know that my office is always out there. You can always come in if you've got questions. and we've worked through what works, what doesn't work, and we can make this budget process work for you. Ultimately, as the city council, this is your budget, and Wade and myself and the mayor, along with the department heads, we want to make this process as easy, as seamless as possible, as painless as possible, and we want it to be your process, and one that works for you. And with that, if you have any questions or comments or suggestions, we can spend as much or as little time on this as you want tonight. We can either talk about it tonight, or if you want, we can bring it forward to another meeting, or missing one council member tonight. So, talk a little bit about it. Maybe one of the next ones coming up. With that, that's budget season.
Thank you, Spencer. Council, review these dates and times, and then if you're going to, you know, have a conflict with any of those dates and times, just be sure and let Spencer know, and he can make arrangements to, you know, maybe discuss later or beforehand what has happened in that meeting. So, thank you, Spencer.
Angel, do you want to participate on any more committees?
Any more meetings?
Committees.
Oh, committees. Yeah, I'd like to.
Okay,
yeah, because I'm only on one. I'd like to.
I've got five.
Let me see. I was checking out. You got five, yeah.
And Gina's got five.
Yeah. Let's see.
If you wanted to do the general government one.
I'll pass on that. Let's see. Give me a choice here. Well, I like streets if it's possible.
All right.
I'm more into that loop.
Okay.
Take that one?
Yeah, all right.
We're good.
Is there any other trading you want to go on?
I'd like to eventually get in street.
Okay.
Well, you're already on four.
Four.
And I know you got a lot of time on your hands, but being retired and everything.
If you want to let go of water and sewer, I'll take that one too.
No, I think I'll stay with that one.
Stay with that one? Okay.
Good. Okay. Very good.
So I made that one change.
Okay.
And then at our next meeting, we can get it finalized.
Yeah. So if anybody, yeah, like I said, check your schedules with this schedule and verify with Spencer your ability or inability to attend. And if you can't attend, it might be a good idea maybe to trade another council member for one that you can attend. So. Thanks, Spencer. Okay, the next item on our agenda, 2.03, is potable water connections limitations outside city limits, and we have a report from Community Development Director Travis.
I don't have a presentation prepared for this. There is one on the computer if you want me to talk about it, but hopefully you've had a chance to take a look at the presentation information that we prepared for the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission met in July to have some discussions about the availability of water and the number of connections for the city. The Department of Health Office of Drinking Water has essentially approved the City of Othello, which is a Class A water system. They approved 3,142 connections to the city system. And we currently have 2,926 approved. That number has actually gone up a few more, a few more buildings since that came out. But our remaining capacity is about 216 connections. Now, for those of you who didn't make it to the presentation a couple of days ago, there are some quirks about that number, being that a connection does not necessarily equate to the number of residences, because Simplot has a couple connections and they're nothing like two homes or a duplex, which is also two connections.
then there's McDonald's and Walmart and the pool itself. You know, each represents a different number of, or a different amount of water that is used for each connection. But the reason why the Department of Health uses it is a couple reasons. One is there are a lot of factors that go into the system. This number of 216 does not include well number 9. And the reason for that is it's not a straight up number of X numbers of gallons equals X number of connections. And the number of connections depends on the amount of water that we have available in our system. The second thing it depends on is the amount of storage that we have in our water towers to be able to keep that water going during peak hours. And then the third one is the amount of pressure that's in the pipes, meaning that just because we have well 9 on the line does not necessarily mean that the farthest ends of our system, but there's additional water pressure keep forcing it farther and farther out to serve more and more structures, whatever those connections would be. So there's a lot that factors into it. Rowan Associates is working on improving our water supply for our water plant. This is a water plant. And they will provide and work, provide additional information, work with the Department of Health to figure out how many additional connections well 9 equals. Now, I have those preliminary numbers. We'll get to those in a few minutes. But the reason why this is important is because there is a large number. There's about 700 potential connections that have talked to me about development that they would like to consider investing in around the community. And so, because we only have 216 available, and 700 potential customers for investments in the community, we need to figure out whether we need to start preparing early to prioritize those connections. I took this to the Planning Commission, as I mentioned, and the staff report or the agenda memo that's new for tonight laid down what the Planning Commission's recommendations were. Their first recommendations were that the city should consider prioritizing what kind of connections. We talked about residential, commercial, and industrial in the city, outside of the city. They didn't really have any preference about commercial, industrial, or residential, but they were pretty clear that they thought the city should not be using city potable water for commercial and agricultural uses that are outside the city limits, and especially in those cases for agricultural, there is irrigation water that's available to them. And I think on the commercial side, their thinking was if it is a commercial activity, it should be part of the city, which leads to their second recommendation, which is that annexation should be a requirement for water service if they're outside these city limits. Now, we didn't get into that discussion much, but I suspect we'll probably want to have some conversations because we're going to have an annexation, and the Water and the Sewer Committee had some really interesting conversation about this just last week, and the pros and cons of annexation. So their third recommendation is that you explore the creation of an irrigation water utility. So that goes along with number 4, which is they felt that I should prepare an ordinance and read it before you that would require all new developments to include a purple pipe system so that the lawns and irrigation activities within the city could eventually be weaned off of a potable system and placed on some kind of utility-based pumping system like our parks currently are. So there's no request for an ordinance or resolution tonight. This is just kind of an introduction for your discussion. And you can give me further directions.
Council, do you like these ideas?
Yep.
First coming out of the Planning Commission?
Yep. Yes, I was there when it was going on. Yeah.
I was there also. I'm agreeable.
Okay. So let's continue to pursue it and get it in the form of a motion before the council so that we could possibly adopt an ordinance.
So is that recommendation 4 in particular, or which one would you like me to prepare for?
low.
Fourth one, for sure.
Yep. Now...
Creation of the irrigation water utility should go right along with that one.
Yep.
The annexation.
Third and fourth.
Yeah, we kind of talked about that annexation last, and I don't think it's a good idea to annex the one that we were talking about. I think it,
okay.
It just make, kind of makes a, I don't know, lots more work for Public Works, and...
There's some other things that need to be thought about before annexation goes into effect just for water. Because if you're annexing in and you're taking in all the road problems and all the other problems that go along with that and the maintenance. So I don't know what we need to talk about on that, but...
This is kind of in two parts. There's existing services that are being provided by the city of Othello currently. I think in the planning commission meeting, more what we were thinking about or what the planning commission was thinking about was future development. So we've laid a pipeline all the way to well number 9. If we start seeing, you know, people wanting to connect to that and develop, that then become annexed into the city at that point.
So you're talking annexation of new development?
Yes.
Areas.
Versus existing developed areas already.
I would be in favor of that. I don't want to see a policy where we're annexing in things that are existing before we know what all the problems and things that go along with that. But new development, definitely, I would be in favor of.
But the one we were talking about is new development, and we don't want to annex that.
No, but it's existing, because they're adding on to it. It's not new development.
100 units, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. I think, you know, in addition, it brings up another thought, is that I don't know if we have any clear criteria as to what we would accept. And I think that needs to be developed, the criteria. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we can work on with the Planning Commission and with Travis and the council to establish a criteria that would say if you want to, you're outside the city limits and you want to come on to city water, because we're going to have to address that issue coming forward, because we've had, seven or eight, community water systems. We've now done engineering studies to of what it would take to bring them into the city water system. Well, there still needs to be some established criteria that the council sets as policy as to what we're willing to accept or what is the standard that we want when we accept. So those are things that are going to need a little bit of fleshing out, don't you think, Travis? Because I don't think we have any. It's just in the past it's been, well, do you have the availability, okay, yeah, you're in. And I think that there needs to be some standards and some criteria established.
I think that if in some circumstances bringing in existing
community water
systems that exist today that we're supplying to, if we annex them, then we're obligated to the infrastructure that we're provided, and there would be a lot of work that needed to be done on the infrastructure to eliminate the leaks and the bad systems. They're not being run the way a system would be run by the city today. So unless there's funding available, you know, through the Department of Health to get that system available for the city to take it over, I don't think we could afford to do it at this point.
At this point, we don't even have the water.
But
So this is why now is the time now to start to establish what this criteria is going to be.
Yeah, but for future development, that was clear with the PC that they were looking that if, you know, you can't just ask for our water and then not pay your fair share within the city, you know, I mean, and if they're out in the county, the tax money generated from, you know, them is going to go to the county and not come back to the city. So they were looking to say, well, we're going to provide you with the service, you should be in the city, so the tax revenue comes to the city.
Correct.
I think the example that we talked about at the one on sewer community is going to be a great opportunity for you guys to explore this question. For those of you who don't know, just off of Moon Road is one of the projects that we have a grant to study. And it is the old Ted McCann property. It's now owned, it was the Bird Dog Water Association, and it's now owned by some investors called Pintail. Both of them use those two terms, Bird Dog and Pintail. It's the same property. And they are looking at annexing because they potentially want to take the 27 units that are there and go to 100 units. And they're working with their consultants to determine what they need to do to bring that up to city code. The annexation. And the start of the annexation process is they will submit a letter asking the city council to consider an annexation, at which time you can say, no, we don't want to touch it, or yes, bring more information when we talk to you about annexation. But you always have in your back pocket the opportunity to extend beyond the city limits and serve them like we are Water District 1 and several others. But because we have that grant, so it's actually a really great tool because it breaks down to how much it will cost to bring the system up to standards. It talks about how much it will cost to extend the city system out to that facility so that it's connected. And the Department of Health has reviewed that and essentially said this is the exact kind of stuff that qualifies for the state drinking water revolving fund. And you would get 50% forgiveness for the loan that you take out. So you would take out a 20-year loan at 1%, and you only have to pay back 50%. And so it's the type of situation where, as a council, you have somebody who wants to annex, and their condition for annexation would be to bring the system up to and get it installed to city standards, which means if they're only paying 50 cents on the dollar, it shouldn't cost the city anything. Because we're already getting half of their bill for them, which is one of those incentives that, you know, you should be able to hold over their head. And that is, if it costs the taxpayers money, it doesn't happen. But there's that incentive to make money for their money. So it would be a great explanation. Now, I do want to go back one step, and that is, when you adopted the comprehensive plan, had a two-minute sidebar about the policy of annexation and extension of utilities along the city boundaries. And it is in the comprehensive plan, and the comprehensive plan specifically lays out a couple of directions on that this, when the city will consider annexations have to be a logical and efficient extension of utilities and it just make sense for the city. So we have some of that, so I think I'll be able to roll that into this conversation we're going to have, so that you can help develop some of those criteria to help you decide whether it's a good idea to annex and provide water or providing water. A little caveat is all of the contracts that you have to serve people outside of the city limits, it includes a standard caveat that says they agree not to fight annexation when the city decides. So we ultimately could give them service and they may be on their own now in the county using our water, like Water District 1, 5, 10, 20 years. But whenever the city council sees fit, it's part of a bigger, more important decision, you can always annex them at that time, and they would not have the ability to fight that annexation. So you do still have leverage even if you don't annex them.
Were you going to add something?
No.
Okay. Gina?
And on the first consideration of prioritizing water connections, I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we direct that towards staff or send it back to planning or...
Well, I think whatever we do, we want to also include Public Works Department and their input on how we would proceed forward and in what manner, because I think they're the ones going to be directly affected, and they have some insight in the field that we don't, potentially.
But we do need to establish these criteria, and I appreciate the fact that we did give some basic direction within our comprehensive plan, but we need to further refine that, because I have a feeling this is going to come up again and again and again, and I think we want to stay consistent with our decisions. So we have a checklist. Okay, council?
Yep.
Okay, satisfied with that? Let's move to 2.04, a resolution to create a pocket park at Madera Street and Cemetery Road.
So hopefully you had a chance to take a look at the agenda memo on this. This is the location that we're talking about. It is at the southeast end of Palos Verde Cemetery, just off the screen here is the cemetery itself. You can see the drainage, or the canal, sorry, and then over here on this side is the drainage canal itself. Here's the pathway that currently exists. You can see that there is sidewalk on this portion of Madera and on this side of the cemetery, and then the sidewalk here goes down all the way to pretty much the school and the water tower. There is a ADA accessible route all the way to the schools that are over there. The one thing I didn't prepare for tonight, but it's in the staff report, and that's this map from our comprehensive plan on Parks and Rec Trails plan. And what it shows is this intersection here is actually the intersection of three trails that are identified on the plan. There's the one to the east here, there's the one to the west along the canal, and then there's also, and they go south as well. Then there's also the trail that goes from West Hampton to the Royal Cemetery to the rest of town that depends on the existing street system. So this intersection literally is at the intersection of three trail systems. And the suggestion was creating some kind of respite for the walkers on these trails, but there are no benches on any of these systems in this area. So this is what the site looks like. You can't see very well in this picture, but this is a depression for stormwater. And there's a flat area here right next to the trail. You can see a little better here. There's a flat area at the top. You can see the depression of the stormwater on the left. So there would be an opportunity to put some benches or some kind of structure up at the top. Some kind of shade structure is also mentioned to me. And there's another picture in this. You can see it's a little easier to see, but it's about a 3-foot depression in the stormwater facility. But there's a large area up top where it is flat and level. And this is an example of what we could do just immediately adjacent to the existing sidewalk instead of the bench. This is an example of what you could do. There's another one in the background there. But kind of simple vision of what you could put there so that people can rest from there and there. And just a different picture of it. So it doesn't require much construction, but we can create a rest off for citizens who are out there. Any questions?
So if we make this a pocket park, won't the city have to put in a sidewalk there? There's only just in the front, there's nothing on this side.
So there is an existing sidewalk on this side, and this is not actually a sidewalk here. This is just a path around.
Right, so wouldn't we have to have a sidewalk come down this? Just
no, so actually what you could do is you could come straight down here, and you can do go across here, and then the sidewalk is on the northern side of Madera, and eventually it will connect just to the center.
There won't be a sidewalk on the east side of the of Madera.
Yes.
Which is east nor northeast, would be better said.
Right.
So eventually this sidewalk will come down and you get to the rest of the sidewalks and eventually connect to the Main Street sidewalk as those houses still in the Main Street sidewalks place there with appropriate EDA connections.
To the left.
Across the street.
To the left of the street.
Yes.
And the park will be on the right.
That's the west side, yes. So it is connected by the EDA crossing. And then this path is paved, and this final portion is there.
That's all blacked out there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. ADA to the east, everything's good to go there. Yeah.
At one time we had talked about, I don't know, it's been a few years back. I don't know if there was ever an ordinance, whatever, about not having any more pocket parks. Is there an ordinance like that or no?
No. I haven't seen anything on that.
Okay.
Section I referenced is not included.
Okay.
There is discussion in the comprehensive plan that the amount of acreage, and this doesn't make it considered as any acreage, but the purpose that when I envisioned it for is to create a rest stop.
Is there a fence off in between there and that drainage ditch?
I'm sorry?
Is there a fence in between that, where you want to put the pocket park and the drainage ditch?
Yeah.
Would you be taking the gravel out and putting grass in, or?
You know, that's one potential. You can always do that because the rock is cold.
There's no water source there, Travis.
Yes. Yeah, good point. Sorry, that came on today. But yes, if you want to paint it, you can do that. That would be the lowest maintenance option.
So basically just be paved and put some benches there?
Sorry?
You basically just want to pave it and put some benches there?
No.
And call it a park?
The suggestion was just put some benches.
Some concrete pads and some benches along the sidewalk, backside of the sidewalk.
Now they would maybe put like a pergola on top of that, just so it's a nice little semi-shaded. Mm-hmm. And then like, made of like track type material, like same material. That the benches made out of just be attractive and like instead of a sort of a rest place for people to walk around there.
The only other thing that was suggested to me was additional activity stations because the trail on by the drainage canal has several activity stations or chin ups and pull ups and push ups and walking bars, those kind of things. So to put another one at this location.
So yeah, that's a good idea. I think the first step then would be to for the council to approve a resolution creating the pocket park, and then as far as the planning and what we do is design, that could come at a later time.
Proposed names also.
And some proposed names. Yeah, we don't have a name for said pocket park right now.
How many benches were you thinking?
As many as you could fit in there. Theoretically, there's no limit or maximum number.
Probably one would be. It's not a very flat area. One or two max.
So it's the city's property?
It's the city right of way, yeah.
It is. There was a question about whether or not the deed had been executed. And I see in your staff report that it is shown with the red circle around it. It is an area that is deeded to the city during the Palace Verde subdivision. And there was some question as to whether or not that deed had actually been recorded. And I got a hold of the council and verified that yes, it was deeded to the city by the Figueres family.
Well, I bought that from Figueres. If you see that circle right there, that corner there, I needed that corner for a second means of access. So what I did is bought it from the Figueres, and then we deeded it over to the city.
Angel, is that where that rock was, right in that area?
No, the rock was across the street, across Cemetery Road. You mean the landscape rock?
Yes.
That was across Cemetery Road. That rock that's in there is where we got it from.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. There it is.
We could create a poke park?
Sorry?
We could create a poke park?
Yeah.
Pokemon park or what?
We were, that came up in conversation because he and his friend have been walking around town in Pokemon Go in the summer. They keep crossing back and forth from Main Street to various locations. Part of the idea that's been coming up, which we're planning circles, is figuring out a way to let those kids hang on main thoroughfares, which is unfortunately where the Pokemon app directs them, that they create stops at the highest traffic locations. So hopefully we'll be able to convince them.
Well, it's not only the highest traffic locations, they actually create the stops at places that have art or historical markers.
So is the benches on Main and 7th, are they the same as these, or are they a little bit different? They're the beautification committee ones, aren't they? Are they different than these?
That, you have to ask.
Terry Hillcoat benches, there are 53 of them scattered all over town.
Okay, so it's the same as, same ones?
Okay. Well, council, I guess before you, you have staff recommendation to approve a resolution creating a new pocket park at the corner of Madera Street and Cemetery Road.
Can we vote on that during workshop?
No, we'll have that ready for you next week.
Okay.
If you guys, if the consensus is for us to proceed.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you, Travis.
Is Travis going to be back? I got a question for him. Travis, what's the status on this noxious weed? Can you tell me?
Sure. I have prepared some language. The chief of police, Chief Shedley, and Heather, the animal control officer, I'm sorry.
Miller.
Heather Miller, have reviewed it and believe that it solves the concern that you have. And it's language that includes noxious weeds, even if they're under 12 inches, which helps code enforcement get at it. Kelly Conkright has reviewed the language and agrees that it's adequate and that the city does have authority to enforce noxious weed laws, even with the catching noxious weeds.
Thank you.
Now come for you, I believe it's next.
Next Monday.
What area are you talking about?
What area?
For...
Well, we've got two or three areas. There's one area which was down on First where that little... Checkles, I had that little hot dog stand or whatever it was. That whole deal was noxious weeds right there. And then there's another spot right over the other side of the Avalon. You go down about one block, there's an empty lot there, and it's covered with that noxious weed.
Puncture vine.
So I got a piece of property between Broadway and First, which is that old buffer at the Quonset.
Oh, okay.
So I got a letter stating to, you know, clean that up, and they did it the next day.
Yeah.
It's only right to do. So since we're into that, the Bureau Irrigation has that piece along the walking path.
Is that theirs?
Yeah, so, I mean, we get hit with that kind of stuff. So, I mean, are they above the law? I mean, what can we do about something like that? I mean, that's right, not dead center, but...
Let Wade answer that.
Yeah, we fight them every year with that, Terry, if I'm not correct, to tell them to clean it up. I think we end up doing it half the time, and I'm not sure if we've done it last... Who did it last year? Did we do it, or they end up doing it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it the East District that manages that canal? I can't believe Craig wouldn't be willing to...
It's a drain ditch, it's not a canal. And I know they pipe they get so many foot a year that they can, you know, they got funds for. And they prioritize that, of course, you know what I mean?
I think what we need to do is the city should draft a letter to the board of directors of the East Columbia Basin Irrigation District, not to staff members, but to the board. There's a governing body of the East Columbia Basin Irrigation District, and it's the Board of Directors. So you need to talk to those people, and those are people of the community. And you need to get the word to them that there's a bunch of kochia that's bolting right now on that canal bank. I mean, it's getting to be about 5 feet.
Well, if you remember, you and I were supposed to go talk to that guy at Walmart, the manager. So I put a call to set up an appointment so you and I could meet with him. He didn't even meet with us. I mean, he just went out there and took care of it. Got it done. They spent a lot of money on that gravel. So that looks nice right there. And then you got the walking path, and you got that strip there that it's whatever that easement is.
It's beyond that fence line.
It's just right there.
Yep.
Well, it's on the west side of the fence line too.
Yep.
Yeah. And all along the ditch up the cemetery road.
But we should be looking at talking to the board of directors and not to the staff. You'll get feedback from the staff that won't. You need to get it in front of the board. You might want to even attend a board meeting and get it in front of them.
Ralph Owens Brown.
Okay. Last item on our agenda is committee reports. Is there any committee reports? Hearing none, I will adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:17 p.m.